Did he need somebody to roll away the stone and to untie him? He didn't. He didn't. But he delegates to them. The one who taught in the synagogues could have preached to the whole world by himself. But what did he do? He delegated. Despite the fact that he could serve alone, preach alone, do miracles alone, he chose not to. He calls his disciples and he gives them a delegate. He delegates them and gives them authority. The next slide, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Who has the power of the authority? God. Who has the power to forgive sin? God or man? Man too. God, yes, God. So then what happened? He took from his own authority, this is delegation, he took from his own authority and he gave. If you forgive the sins of others, John 20, 19, 28, 21, they are forgiven. If you pay the sins of any, they are forgiven. Wait a minute. So you're giving the priest the authority to forgive sin? Yes. Yes. You're giving the disciples your authority to cast out demons, to heal? Yes. Yes. So, the spiritual servant, the true servant, is the servant who delegates. Who delegates. Why is delegation so important? Well, because you know, Taban, that when anything that's centralized, right, hinders the success or the growth or the spread of whatever it is, okay? So if you're the only one responsible in your class for everything, what happens when you have a flat tire? What happens when you get a cold? What happens when you just can't make it for some reason? What happens? الخدمة تقف. What kind of خدمة is that? What kind of service is that? You got to delegate. You got to give from your own authority to the people that you work with, the children that you serve. The Lord formed a team of servants, and I drew kind of like some sort of diagram to help. A pyramid-like. Christ was the first. He was on top. And then, within his 12 disciples, he had three specials. Anybody know who they are? John and James. Okay? So even from the 12, he had three. Then he had the 12. Then he had eight. The seven. And then the billions of people in the world now. Pyramid. Delegation. You want to be a good servant, a spiritual servant? Learn from Christ's example and delegate. Don't hoard everything to yourself. Don't be selfish. Don't be cheap to give the blessing to others. This is the wise leader. This is the wise servant. The disciples then, because he did this, they were his eyes, they were his hands, they were his mouth, his feet. Because wherever they were, guess who was there? Christ. Why? Because he delegated. He wanted to preach something? He sent them, two by two. He wanted to heal? Sent them, two by two. Cast out demons? He sent them, two by two. He sent them. He didn't go. He stayed. He said, you go. You do the work. I give you the authority to do it. You see, my beloved? So, now. It's not that easy. Because if you delegate something, there has to be a few characteristics of the relationship between the person who's delegating and the one who's receiving the delegation. came up with a few. There has to be some sort of trust, Habib. He trusted them that they could do the work. Because he prepared them. How many years did he prepare? 3 years of the Anfal. Alright? God picked Moses and prepared him for how many years before he told him to go to the land of Egypt and remove and lead out his children? How many? Anybody know? 40 years of preparation. Part of the new service, my beloved, and this is the model that we use. This is why we do the things we do in this specific church. Those of you who are servants that are trained to be servants, this is the idea. You have to be trained. The Lord trained His disciples. The Lord trained Moses. The Lord trained everybody to go before Him when He let them out to serve. So if you too, I too, we have to be trained. When I became, when I received the grace of the priesthood, they just didn't put a robe on me and say, okay, yalla, kick me out, go get a service. What did they do? They gave me a time of preparation. They prepared. Anything in the church needs preparation, Habib. And we take our preparation very seriously. Even though, to my very much dismay, of how many people misunderstand this point and think and hear comments like that, you're too much for them. Come on, who do you think you are? Just let them go out. Let them do God's work. Don't be so choking on them. But yet, could we say about that about the Lord? No, we couldn't. Because He did it the right way. And we're following exactly what the Lord is doing and does. And it will be clear to you at this point a little bit later as well. So you have to have trust. The disciples had trust in the Lord had trust in them. And they had a trust, they had even a trust. I know I'm not, they had trust in themselves. Uh-oh. What does trust in yourself mean? Okay, in a bad way. What everybody's always talking about. My. No, this is we're talking about delegation and how in order for you to delegate or you to delegate to somebody, first you've got to trust them that they know what to do. So therefore you have to be prepared. Okay? So a lot of people think when they hear the word you have to trust in yourself, that it's pride. And yes, it is pride. The disciples trusted in themselves, but in a different way. They trusted in the work of God in them. St. Paul, he was bold enough to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's a difference. There's a difference. You need to have good communication. You need to have willingness. You need to have a common goal. You need to have respect. This is how the delegation works. And you know, another one of you sent an email about encouragement. How do we encourage each other? Well, this is another thing that helps. You know, how many times do you encourage your fellow servant? How many times do you say a good word to them? Or is it always you're looking at them with a very critical eye, a very complicated eye? The spiritual leader is a person who encourages always. You encourage one another. Okay. Now, delegation is a very sensitive topic because on the flip side, there has to be something along with it. There has to be somebody who reviews the action and who the person that has a delegated responsibility, right? I, for example, I delegate somebody to take the attendance of the class. I have to follow up with him. I have to make him accountable. And this is the part none of us like. Christ did give them authority. And he delegated to them, but he followed up with them. Taba ma'ahum. To follow up with you or anybody that you give a delegate that you are authorized to do something, is something that's very difficult. If I ask you, for example, to do X, Y, Z, and then a few days later or a week later, I say, hey, how did that go? What's our reaction? We're offended. You don't trust me. Why are you asking? You said it enough. Leave me alone. This is what we do. This is what we do a lot of times. And a lot of times we don't understand, we don't realize that even Christ himself did exactly the same thing that I'm just describing to you. Okay? Had a question? That's what I thought before I prepared. Okay. Just give me a second, and we'll go over this part again, and you'll see maybe the next 2-3 slides are going to answer your question. Exactly what Christ did was an amazing thing. Okay? Not only did he give them authority, but he followed up with them through review and accountability. He made sure that they were in line with his motive, his method, his meaning, his teaching. What are some examples? If you just bear with me, let's go to some examples. The first example is Christ followed up with the work of the disciples. He said, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject. They listen to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, here it is. Here's the follow-up. Okay? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Right there, he's clarifying for them their motive of joy. Their motive of joy shouldn't be that the demons listen to them. Hey, I have it. No. Their motive of joy should be that their names are written in heaven. Take it to your benefit, in your service. You walk in, right? And you have some crowd around you, you have some influence with the kids and all this, and you're thinking, yeah, I like this. Is that why you rejoice? Or are you rejoicing because your names are written in heaven? Because you're doing the work of God? Because you're partaking in something that I don't want to do with you and me? Okay? Just bear with me. Here's the second point. Christ's follow-up of the disciples' work. So I brought him unto your disciples. This is the man who had the son with a demon-possessed son. And he says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And then the Lord answers, this kind cannot come out by anything but rise, fasting, and prayer. He clarified their message. The way they did something. He was clarifying to them, you didn't get this result because you missed the point. It's not just prayer, but it's prayer and fasting. He was very specific on how to do the task in front of them.
very specific. Okay? Through the follow-up, see,
again, I sense this point, but if we're not going to be honest, then why are we even talking?
Follow-up, through follow-up, we can understand the true teaching and the true opinion of the church. One of you in your email sent the question, how can we know the church's opinion in something, or help us,
give us guidance on how to, when the church differs in an opinion, how to deliver that to the church. That was one of your comments.
So I thought to myself, first of all, the church doesn't have any opinion
about the major important thing. And the example given in the email was Halloween. Okay, that was the email that one of you sent, I forget who, about Halloween. Well, the church, there aren't any two opinions about Halloween. Halloween is condemned, it's something to condemn. And Paul says, do not have fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is through the follow-up,
you and I will get to know what it is that the church teaches. Yes, there is variation in certain things,
but those are theological opinions, not dogma, not teaching, not faith.
And there's no room for that. Okay? Because we're teaching the faith that was once and for all, as St. Jude in his epistle says, what?
Delivered to it to the saints. The church is the deposit of truth. That's what it says.
So I have to take that truth
and make it available to this generation, and so on. Okay?
Okay. Let's take a third example of how he followed up. Okay? Christ followed up. Look what it says. It says, what was it you disputed among yourselves along the road? He was asking them. But he kept silent. This is his disciples. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, he called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He corrected through follow-up their understanding of the service. My beloved, we should also be willing to have someone follow up with us. Till this day, I still ask my father, Abuna Braham, I want him to follow up. I go to my spiritual father, I follow up, I ask him, Abuna, I did this situation, that, and this is what I did. Well, what do you think, Abuna? Okay, I follow up. I'm pleading for someone to follow up. I'm pleading. Now, again, it's about willingness, it's about love, it's about mutual respect, it's about understanding the goal. It's about trying to figure out how to get these kids into the kingdom of heaven. Our preparation is very important. Nestorius, the arch-heretic,
the patron.
Arius, the arch-heretic, was a priest. No follow-up. No standard. So sometimes when we ask for follow-up, for example, for,
visitation.
No, I don't do those. Or attendance at meetings. Okay, we hold meetings. Okay? Attendance just at the service.
Can't
see that at the bottom. the amana. It's a faithfulness. And my every time I'm not there, I'm missing out on the blessing. It's the amana that God gave me. Our calls. Don't ask me who I call. Our clothing, even. When anybody mentions anything about clothing, and this is maybe directed to the younger people who are preparing, you have to understand that the person that's following up with you is not doing it out of a revenge or hatred or a fear that he wants to make you feel that he is just lonely. When he is asking you, be careful of what I am. Where's your tie? Where's it? It's the summer. Where's the tie? Or where's the nice shirt that is a t-shirt with, you know, Burger King on it or something? No. Is it because he has something personal against you? Or is it because he understands the vision? He understands the magnitude. He understands the whole puzzle. He sees the picture, the whole picture. Maybe you see one more part. Tomorrow you'll see more. Another day you'll see more. More and more and more and more.
So we have to be, you know, Christ. We have to be like Christ. We have to be delegators, and we have to also accept delegation. We have to be able to also accept follow-up. Follow-up, okay? Christ held his disciples accountable, and he followed up with them. And he thought it was important. Why? This is the reason why. Okay? To make sure, my beloved, that his disciples and him were on the same page.
Some of his disciples, as I'm sure you know, they thought his motive was to be a on the earth. To be what? A king. Right? Remember one of the disciples, I forget, from St. Peter, for example. Okay? When St. Peter started to get sent, what did he do? When they attacked him, and Judas takes, what happened? He took out the sword, and now that the high priest, who happens to be there, he'll be there. What did the Lord say? I could call down 12 legions from heaven. He misunderstood. So that correction right there gave him a clarity of the mission of the goal. So follow-up, my beloved, is not here to make you feel bad. It's here to make sure that you and I and everybody, we're all working together for the same goal. You see? This is follow-up. So don't take it in a simple way.
Continue. That's okay. You'll see exactly what I mean, and the difference will come out in a minute. But follow up again. Why? I know I'm spending a lot of time because it's a sensitive point among some of us here. So follow up. Remember, the leader, the good spiritual leader, the good spiritual servant has a vision. And ru'ya, right? Isn't that the word? Ru'ya? He has a vision. He has a vision of how things should go. Okay? Alright. If you're, for example, a family leader, you have to know that your Sunday school coordinator has a vision. If you're a Sunday school coordinator, you have to know that your priest has a vision. If you're a priest, you have to know that your vision. If you're a Christian, you have to know that the Pope has a vision. If you're a Pope,
go down to this. You see?
It's not something it's not something just to waste some time and to hinder the service. Okay? All right. All right. Another point. As a spiritual leader, Christ knew that the 12 disciples could work. But with the 70 involved, it was a bigger mission, able to work more and better. And there are requirements for this inclusion. And this is love. Okay? The Lord taught them about love, and He said to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honoring, giving preference to one another." He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Love is the key to the success of the service. If we love one another, we will understand one another, we will respect one another, we will value one another, we will work together as one another, as one body. And as, if I may remind you, you are the body of Christ, not individuals, but you work together. You're a team. When I move my hand to pick up this microphone, 500,000 things work together. Muscles and ligaments and blood and nerve impulses and skin sensitivity. But if this finger is fighting with this finger, I won't be able to do anything. I'll be paralyzed. You see, so we have to understand that idea here is love. Idea here is mutual respect. And I may have a certain point of view. Hopefully that won't offend you. Give you a chance to explain. You the same way you can talk. We have to have love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, getting back to what we were talking about before. Freddie, can you grab me a Bible? Christ, as a spiritual leader, He gave His disciples a job description. I think in Arabic it's called Tawseef al-Wazifa. Yeah. He gave them a job description. Okay? And as soon as the Bible comes, Matthew chapter 10 is a very good example of what I'm talking about and what Dalal and Megan were referring to. You'll be amazed. Okay. Matthew chapter 10. Okay. Let me just get there. Look what he said. Matthew chapter 10. And when this is the call of the 12. And when He had called His 12 disciples to Him, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. What is that? That is the delegation. Remember how I said, when you delegate, you give somebody your authority, right? You with me? Okay. Now, let's read. Now the names of the 12 are so and so and so. Okay, let's skip down to verse 4. Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go to the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter the city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Let me stop there and just say, He actually told them where to go. Let's go on to verse 7. "And as you go, preach, saying..." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He actually told them what to say. Verse 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He even told them what to do. And then he told them how to do it. Verse 9. Provide neither. Don't supply for yourselves gold, nor silver, nor copper in your money belt. One of them could have said, you know what, Lord, if I have money and this and that, I can do more. He said, no, don't do that. Do what I tell you. This is what he's saying. Provide yourself neither gold, silver, copper in your money belt, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. So verse 9 and 10, he even told them what to bring along in their service. Even what to bring along. Okay? We can go on. Then it goes on here, 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire. He's even telling them how to do it. Inquire who is worthy. Stay there till you go out. When you go into a household, he says, greet it and say to them, is this the part where it says say to them peace? Yes. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon you. If it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. In another place, he says, when you go enter, you say, salam. Guess what I do as soon as I walk into a house? The first word out of my mouth is what? Salam. Why do I do that? Why can't I just say, good morning, good night, good evening, how are you? Why couldn't I say, Rabbina Ma'aku? Why? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is because he said it. This is why I do it, personally. Salam. Peace. You see, my beloved? It goes on and on and on. Okay? It goes on and on and on. Even in this passage, he gives them a job description. And this job description increases over time. It increases over time. Okay? Like a ladder. If you're a wise leader, like those of you who are being prepared for service, if I were to tell you right now, tomorrow is Sunday, you got to prepare a lesson the right way, the way that all of us prepare lessons, with objectives, with this, with verses, with homework, with all the stuff that goes into lesson, and you're going to give the high school class, the 10th grade class, and it was your second, third month service. What would you say? I can't handle it. It's too much. The idea here, I'm trying to find it, the preparation, the seriousness, and the fact that it directing people to do exactly certain things is a biblical principle, and for the reason of what that. Imagine if Christ would have taken his disciples the first day that he called them, and he said, you know what? Let's skip over to Matthew 28. This is Matthew 10. Matthew 28 says, go out and preach into the world. Okay? Teach them everything that I said. Baptize them, really talk to the Holy Spirit. Then I say, wait a minute. Baptize. What's that? Holy Spirit. You know, you teach them. What do you mean? So, did you see the idea here? It's a gradual increase of responsibility. So once they do this, they eat. They're able to do the next. This is the whole idea of preparation. Not that anybody's trying to say you're unworthy or you're not intellectually there. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact of this idea that we all have to be on the same page. There's a focus. There's a goal. That it's something serious. We all have to be there. We all have to help one another. Okay? So, I have a lot more, but just maybe one more example. If you had a little child and you give him £5 to hand carry, right? And he can't carry the £5, are you going to give him a £10 bag the next time? Don't you have to train him how to carry it and what to do? If he can't work a regular camera, how is he going to work a camcorder? Step by step instruction, step by step. I have a lot more points, but all I want to say, I want to just end we can learn a lot from Christ. His leadership in the spiritual sense, not in the worldly sense, don't get me wrong. In the spiritual sense, we can learn so much from it. We can learn how to imitate the Lord. We can learn how to work for the building of the kingdom of heaven. When we say, imitate, St. Paul, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Take my yoke upon me, learn from me. You see, my beloved, so I hope and I pray that God may grant us to truly imitate Him in all love, in all humility, in all patience, so that we can hear that voice which He promised. He said to them, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." May God grant us this ability and this understanding and the wisdom to be able to do this. And glory be to God forever. Amen. I know I took a long